So you'll notice we meet the figure of John the Baptist with that message, get ready, be prepared. There's one coming after me, and that's what's happening. We're a week away, and Jesus will be here. He's coming. Are you ready? And that's what this transition is meant to do, is once again ask that question. Advent is a period of time we're meant to get ready. Well, are you ready? And what are you getting ready for? Well, we're getting ready to receive what's on offer from Jesus, which is not very simply the love of God, our Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus came to put on offer. And there's a lot of different images for that love in the Bible, of course. But the one I'd like to focus on this morning is the image of the gate or an open door. If you think about a door, it's something you can avoid. You don't necessarily have to go through a door. It's there. You don't have to go through that door. There's three doors in this church, four of them, five of them. One, two, three, four, five. You can go through that door and skip these four. And what Jesus came and did is put a door in our creation that gives us access to the Father. But it is something we can ignore, it's something we don't have to go through. And of course, he doesn't force us to go through it. He never does. He never will. But it is on offer nonetheless. It's open to us. Love is calling out for love. And that's what love does. Love doesn't intimidate like a tyrant or some kind of dictator. It invites. And that's what Jesus is doing. As a baby, you're kidding me. I mean, that's an invitation. And there's the door. And in fact, in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. I am the gate. Wide open. That if you respond to the love that is on offer to you through this door, it will lead you to the heavenly kingdom if you walk through it. But we also know that there's another couple of places in the Bible where Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide. There's many doors that lead to perdition and destruction. But this door, this particular door, is narrow. And he even says, how few there are who find it. And I think the truth of that saying is most evident during Advent and Christmas season, when there's so many things distracting us that we never quite find our way to the child. Because the door is there, yes it is, it's there, it's on offer, and there's nothing we can do to close it, there's nothing we can do to get rid of it. It's there, and it does have three really strong, at least they appear to be strong, enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. They don't like the door being there. The devil doesn't like the door because as soon as you go through that door, you come into the grip of our Father instead of his grip. He wants you. You go through that door, you're going from the world of shadows right into the bright light of our Heavenly Father. And he loses his grip on you. That upsets him. That upsets him. He doesn't like the door being there because he wants to be in control of you. The world doesn't want you to go through that door because once you go through that door, you meet the Christ, Jesus, who satisfies the whole of longing within your soul. And once that becomes satisfied, the world loses the hook it uses to get you into its messianic promise. We will deliver you. Our product will fix what's hurting you. We'll take care of that. Pay up, and we'll do that. Here it comes. The world loses control once that hole in our soul meets Christ. The world doesn't want you to go through that door. One of the ways the world is reaching out to us now, in fact, it's shouting at us. I must be getting 25 ads alone in my email box every day. Delete, 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 delete. Buy me! It doesn't want me to find the door. It's trying to distract me from it because it has greater control over me when I stay ignorant of it. And then, of course, the flesh. Well, I think most of us like to be in control, and that's one of the elements of the flesh. The flesh is like this. I've got to be in control. And I go through that door, and I'm like this. I'm opened to receive love and return it. Well, the flesh is uncomfortable with that. I want to be in control. And there's a lot of other reasons, of course, but you know about those already. I don't need to describe those for you, but that's the general idea. The world, the flesh, and the devil. How few there are that find their way to the narrow gate, because the narrow gate is Christ, and he's so humble and lowly that if I'm really important in the world, I experience that narrow gate like a takedown. I'm not going down there. That's a takedown. Very well. Now, this door, by the way, Jesus has placed it in our creation. He is the door. And he worked really hard to put it in our creation. I'll tell you right here, this Eucharist, the door is wide open. The confessional, the door is wide open to his mercy. Those are two places where the door has been established. We come here to enter through the door. But Jesus worked. That's not the only place where you find the door, however. Maximilian Kolbe found the door in the hellhole of Auschwitz. He sustained love in hell because Jesus descended into hell. Where can I flee from this love? He's everywhere. Oh, yes, by the way, he's at your workplace. The door is there. The door is there, and no one can close it. No one can. We haven't the power to close it. It's wide open. And I'll tell you, Jesus, as the child in Bethlehem, comes and puts that door. He is the door. And already the world was trying to close it, because Herod, as we're going to read next week, tried to kill him. That's what the world does. It doesn't like the door in this world. It doesn't like it. And probably the place in the gospel where you find the world, the flesh, and the devil converging to finally be rid of this door is going up Calvary. We gave Jesus every reason to finally shut that door and say, "That's it. I'm done with you." We gave him every reason to do that. I think all of us have had those times, haven't we? We get hurt or we get angry in our relationships. Maybe we shut the door and say, "You know what? At least for now, I can't make an offer to you of my love because I'm just going to have to give you the silent treatment. We close the door, right? Don't we? We all know what that's like. We get hurt. We get angry. We get brittle. We grow cold. We close the door. Well, guess what? Jesus, going up Calvary, we gave him so many reasons to shut that door. And he persevered in the Father's will and kept it open. His love was on offer all the way up Calvary. And while the world and the flesh and the devil thought that by putting him in the grave that would be the end of the door, God brought it back from the dead, and now what he opens, no one can close. No one. No one. And if you think, well, I can't go through that door, I'm not worthy, meditate on the Passion. Look at what they did to him going up Calvary, and he still didn't close the door on us. The door is wide open to you. Are you ready to engage it? Are you ready to return? Sure, we fall, we trip. Maybe we even feel embarrassed at how weak our response to this great love is, because we do fail at love a lot. We really do. Right? Welcome to fallen humanity. That's our Achilles heel, is love. That's our weakness. We are weak when it comes to that. He is strong when it comes to that. And if you're looking for someone who's going to be like a worldly power like Herod, or maybe some other great world leader that's going to come in and just clear the way for you and usher in your advancement, whether it be financial, personal, power, whatever it is, you're going to be disappointed, because while he could be strong that way, he said no to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and came in loneliness, mercy, forgiveness, and love. There's where he's strong. Brothers and sisters, are you ready to meet this kind of love? And what do you need to do in the next week to make a return? There's nothing to be embarrassed about. You just got to start. And guess what? It'll end when you're dead. Because there's no stopping. There's no kind of where you arrive at, okay, now I've become totally loving. Never will happen. There's no end to it. We come forward and we keep meeting him. And we keep returning in the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Then comes my neighbor. But I've got to come to the door and meet the conditions necessary for love to grow. Instead of the wisdom of the serpent and the worldly ways it's trying to fill me with. No, I want to be filled with the love of God, of our Father who art in heaven, whose name is hallowed within me. That's what we desire. And that's what we need to become in the world. He is strong in us, in prospering love, which serves the good in others instead of tries to tear it down. He is very strong in that realm. Just again, go to Calvary, meditate on the Passion. He is so strong when it comes to not shutting the door. And we can come into that. In fact, we are in that through baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, confession, prayer time. Excuse me, I've got to go to the men's room. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I've done it. Why can't you? So, brothers and sisters, the door is there. It's on offer. I pray that in the coming week, you'll take the steps that might help you get started on going through that door, and then welcoming the Christ child this Christmas.